This is CliffCentral.com.
It's time for Anthea Gardner to give us a little look at what's going on in the markets. We do this every Monday morning. And on a Monday, usually she comes in, but she's busy. She's busy in Cape Town. And getting ready for a product launch for our hashtag invest, which is happening very, very shortly. And we're excited as all hell to let you in on that. So before I give it all away, here's Anthea Gardner with a look at the markets on a Monday. The Money Shot. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth. Are we starting the week off with high energy?
I thought so. You know, we got so many versions of your song, it's hard to choose sometimes. All right.
It's good. I like it.
So how did we do on Friday? You weren't very optimistic, and I keep hearing people saying that over the last few days, it's felt like all the value is being eroded slowly from the JSE, and that it's very, very hard to kind of get those numbers up right now.
That is a very good way of putting it. That's exactly right. It does feel like we're just kind of slipping away very slowly. On Friday, we were down another 0.5%. All the major sectors closed negative. Volumes were very low. I think part of it is that investors are just nervous. So all the story about whether or not Gordhan is going to go to court, just nobody knows, right?
No.
The Rand strengthened a bit after the news story broke that maybe charges against him had been dropped. But I see there's another news story this morning saying that Abrams has responded saying charges have not been dropped. I don't think the market's picked that story up yet because the Rand is still holding at 13.76 to the dollar, which is quite strong. 15.07 to the euro and below 17 to the pound. So it's now 16.77. I mean, so the Rand's quite strong. And one of the things that happened on Friday was despite the stronger Rand, the Department of Energy announced that we're getting a petrol price increase this week of 45 cents a liter. And I think we know that the spot or the crude oil price has traded higher, but I didn't think it was enough to justify a petrol price increase. And they're saying that even though the Rand is stronger, it's because of the volatility in the Rand that, you know, they're putting up the price. So maybe they're hedging their bets and thinking that the Rand will weaken kind of coming into the next month.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think so.
All right.
And then on Friday, SAA also released results. So that wasn't particularly good. You know, they've got this government guarantee of 5 billion rand. Last year, they printed a loss of 5.6 billion rand. And this year, the loss has narrowed to 1.5 billion rand, which is not bad. But Dudu Mieni has said that it'll take them 5 years to break even.
That's a good business.
Exactly. I mean, they've done well containing costs because revenue was flat at about 30 billion rand for the year. So that means that they've managed to contain costs, and if they're able to kind of decrease the loss by, 3.5 billion rand, and they must be doing something right.
Right.
And they're also reviewing their route network, and of course they're still looking for a CEO and a CFO. So it's a bit rudderless at the moment, isn't it?
And rudderless and still being funded by the public purse. Where it is a competitive, should be a competitive business, and they should have a pretty good guarantee of income because they've got such a stranglehold on domestic traffic. It seems to me like when you have all the odds stacked in your favor and you still make a loss, then you must be among the most incompetent management in the universe. It's like Eskom. Eskom, SAA, these state-owned enterprises are run extraordinarily badly by hugely incompetent people.
Sure. And it shows in the numbers, doesn't it?
Definitely.
We're not guessing. We can tell. Anyway, and then kind of the market at the moment really is, it's all about the global markets, you know, and kind of very much the macro picture. So last week, the UK printed their GDP, came in slightly better than expected. Quarter on quarter came in at 0.5% when the market was expecting a 0.3%. And then U.S. GDP growth came in at 2.9% versus the expected 2.6%. So, again, you know, kind of strengthening the case for a December rate hike in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And then in recent weeks, the focus has also shifted a little bit to Japan, where I think everyone's just hoping that they'll print a little bit of inflation and kind of turn around the economy. They are still calling it the lost decade. I think it's probably more like the lost decade and a half by now. Mm-hmm. So on Friday, Japan's CPI inflation came at negative 0.5%, which of course is not great. But even though it was negative, I think it's showing signs of steadying, which is fine. You know, they just don't want this complete drop, like fall off a cliff. And the unemployment rate has dropped to the lowest in 2 years, which means, I think what it means for Japan is that we're probably not going to see the kind of quantitative easing that we were expecting or that they were talking about just a couple of months ago. And for us, I mean, it's all great that we have global growth, but I think you must remember that if the U.S. hikes rates, it probably will cause our rand to weaken a bit. And what we've been fairly dependent on in the last, I would say, kind of year and a half is this global search for yield, you know, because if you're invested in the U.S., you're getting very little for your money.
Right.
And also something we call the carry trade.
What is that?
And so the carry trade is when an investor can borrow money for relatively cheap, like you can do in the developed markets,
right,
and then invest it or buy assets that will yield a higher return, mostly in emerging markets, and particularly in South Africa. So just to put numbers to it, you can probably borrow in America for 1%, buy South African government bonds, which are yielding closer to 9%, and so already there's an 8% pickup. I mean, of course, it's not that simple. There are a couple of things. There's, you know, the price of the bond, the exchange rate. But that's the basic premise of a carry trade. But if the U.S. increases interest rates, I think that the carry trade yield will compress. And so we'll potentially see some outflows from South Africa. And that's probably already what we're seeing, you know, when you talk about us kind of just slowly slipping away. That's probably what you're seeing, people just withdrawing money, or investors, I should say, withdrawing money all the time.
Right.
And then, but just back to our local market, I mean, it's always a fairly good indicator of our market, the asset management businesses or of our stock market, because, of course, earnings of asset management businesses are influenced by the stock market. You know, so if you have a healthy stock market, generally it's good for business because asset managers can, without too much effort, organically grow their assets under management, which naturally increases the fees or the revenue that the asset managers make. And in addition, a buoyant market tends to mean that consumers are more willing to be invested in the stock market. So on Friday, Coronation, which is South Africa's largest asset manager, mm-hmm. put out a trading statement. They're expecting earnings to be between 10 and 20% lower than in the same period as last year.
Sure, that's not bad.
That's not good. I mean not good.
Sorry.
So I was expecting to see earnings fall off by about 6%. But, you know, if they report at the higher end of their guidance, like closer to 20%, then I think it'll be a real shock to the market. The share was down about 4% mm-hmm. on Friday. And if that happens, it'll come off quite significantly. You know, this is a share that traded about, I think, 18 months ago. It was trading at 105 Rand a share. It's now about 73, 74 Rand a share. You know, they do still manage 600 billion Rand in assets, which is phenomenal. I mean, you can compare that. The other two kind of locally listed asset managers would be Anchor, the Anchor Group, and Signia. And Anchor manages 47 billion rand, and Signia manages 160 billion rand. Sure. So Coronation's 600 billion is just a phenomenal feat.
Gee. All right, and they still can't make it work for them.
Well, they have had some outflows. They used to manage a lot more than that, or about 10% more than that, so 660 billion. But if your cost base is high and you're seeing outflows, then of course revenue will decrease. And unless you're containing costs in line with the revenue factor outflows, then of course. And I think it's not just us though. You know, kind of globally, the focus has also been on financial businesses. So last week, Deutsche Bank posted a fairly good set. Well, I don't know if it was a good set, but it was definitely a positive surprise of their third quarter results. Net income of 256 million euros, which is not bad for a company that, you know, they had that huge fine of, what, 14 billion euros. And kind of we're all worried about them getting downgraded and not being capitalized properly. And then Barclays also posted a 35% increase in their revenue. And I saw an interesting article on Barclays last week about how potentially this Barclays separation from Absa is going to cost them in the region of £1 billion.
Gee.
Seems a bit excessive. I mean, I think it's hard to guesstimate or quantify the exact cost of kind of the systems integration that took place initially and then the now unwinding of all those systems.
I have a suspicion that they're just trying to up their expenses so they didn't get taxed so highly. I'm just guessing here. Is that too cynical?
That's actually a good theory.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's what they're doing. They don't want to be taxed, so they say it's going to cost us $1 billion to do this. And meanwhile, it's like a couple of hundred thousand. Please.
But that would be at the detriment of the share price, though. I mean, if it is true and their costs are so extraordinarily high, then you can imagine the share price will come off, right? And I'm not sure you want that.
Yeah, I think that they're willing to take a hit to make some money back elsewhere.
Okay. And then back to local company news. The company that took over SAB Miller, Anheuser-Busch, reported their third quarter results on Friday. Sales pretty much in line with what was expecting, but they had a huge miss in their EBITDA line. So the EBITDA line is the important one. It's the earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization. And we were expecting the number to be closer to $4.5 billion, and it ended up being only $4 billion. The market did not like it. I think the biggest issue there were sales in their Latin American business. So I guess if the economies are stalling in Latin America, which is one of Anheuser-Busch's biggest markets, which is probably why they bought SAB Miller, so that they can diversify into regions. So a very disappointing set of results. And I think more interestingly, along with their results, AB InBev announced that they had made the first beer delivery using a self-driving delivery truck. So we certainly are moving kind of very fast.
I suppose
in the technology space.
A self-driving delivery truck can't get drunk.
You're not saying that their drivers are drinking on the job, are you?
I am.
Oh, dear. So they made this trip in the U.S. It was a two-hour drive at an average speed of 89 kilometers per hour. And the only time the actual driver took the wheel was when he was going on and off the ramps that take him to and from the highway.
Right.
So and they've teamed up with Uber for that, so that's quite exciting.
I'm so excited that beer will be delivered by a robot rather than a human.
You're doing that sarcasm thing again,
yeah,
aren't you?
I am. I'm turning it up. All right. Thanks, Anthea.
My pleasure. Right, have a good week.
Excellent. Anthea Gardner with a look at the money this week.
This is CliffCentral.com.